My presentation this morning is actually based on three or four articles that are published, so I don't have the time to go through everything in great detail, but if you have any, and if you would like to know some of these issues in greater detail, please email me. That's my email address, and I'll be more than happy to email the articles to you. And as you can tell from the title, my presentation turns the spotlight on the experiences of British lesbian Muslims. In this case, lesbian Muslims who are primarily of South Asian origin. So they are from Pakistan, Bangladesh, or India, at least the previous generations. And what I would like to do is to demonstrate to you the challenges that this minority experiences, the challenges that they have to manage on a day-to-day basis, not only as members of a sexual minority, but also as members of a religious and a cultural minority within the British and the Western context in general. But before I move on to the issues, I think it would be good for me to give you a little bit of information about the methodological context of my research, so you know the context within which the data is generated. These are some of the projects that I've been involved in. The first one is a completed project called Minority Within a Minority. As you can see, in this project, I was very interested in studying the intersection between sexuality, ethnicity, religion, and culture, because I believe that for lesbians and bisexual Muslims in this case, they cannot just negotiate their sexuality without negotiating their culture, without negotiating their religion within the British society. So I was very interested in studying how they manage all this intersection of different identities. That is the first project which has been completed. As you can see in the project, I also study gay men. But as far as the presentation is concerned, I want to focus on women only. The second project is a project that we just finished. In this project, we study queers' sexualities in non-institutionalized spiritual spaces. For instance, queer spaces in cyberspace. But in this project, we also study a small number of queer Muslims, men and women. And the third project is a project that we just started two months ago, in which we want to study six religions. As you can see, I'm becoming more and more greedy. So in this case, in the third project, we want to study 100 respondents from each of the six main religions in the UK, namely Christianity, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, Sikhism, and Judaism. And I'll let you know how we get on. We only just started, but these are some of the issues that we will be considering. So as you can see, the kind of work that I've done before is primarily qualitative, although we also move on to quantitative research. I think before we can examine the management strategies of lesbian Muslims, it is very important for us to understand, first of all, the political and social cultural context within which they live. In order to understand how they live their lives as individuals, you have to understand the structural context that they have to engage with on a day-to-day basis. And this is what I would like to talk about very, very briefly. First of all, there is no denying that within the Muslim community in the UK and in the West, there is a general understanding that Islamic texts are against homosexuality, whether it's Quran or the Hadith or the Sharia, whether people are actually familiar with what the Quran has to say, generally it's accepted that there is no place or space for homosexuality, particularly male homosexuality within Islam. And this kind of religious conservatism is complemented by cultural conservatism, and I've given you some examples that the Muslim culture very, very much prioritizes heterosexuality. And in other words, in order to be a good Muslim, the only proper Muslim way of practicing one's sexuality is to be a heterosexual. And not only heterosexual within the context of marriage. So these are some of the cultural complications that lesbian Muslims have to engage with. And there are some other issues as well that reflect the cultural minority status of Muslims in the UK and in the West. For instance, homosexuality is very widely perceived as a Western disease. In other words, if you are a proper Muslim, you won't be gay, you won't be lesbian. Being lesbian and gay are the problem of all those white people. White people who are immoral, white people who are secular, and so on. If you are a proper Muslim, there is no way that you'll be a lesbian in this case. And all these very complicated cultural issues work together with religious conservatism that makes the life of lesbian Muslims, in this case, very, very difficult. But actually, the difficulty of their lives goes beyond this, because, as I mentioned just now, they are not only members of a sexual minority, they're also members of a religious minority within the British society. Within the British society and the Western world generally, Islam is so misunderstood. Muslims are so misunderstood. So many of our lesbian Muslims tell us that on a day-to-day basis, not only do they have to negotiate how to be lesbians, they also have to negotiate how to be a Muslim in the society in general. For instance, Miriam Cook has written about this concept of Muslim women, a homogenizing understanding of Muslim women across the world that denies the diversity. And Miriam Cook argues that this concept of Muslim women portrays Muslim women as people who are so oppressed, who are in need of liberation. So these are some of the cultural misrepresentations of Islam and Muslims that our respondents have to grapple with on a day-to-day basis, alongside the issues of racism. So already, as you can see, there are cultural challenges, religious and also sexual challenges that they have to face. So taking all this together, you can see that on a day-to-day basis, they have to manage the intersection of homophobia, homonegativity, but not only that, also Islamophobia, racism, and so on. In other words, if you want to understand the identity of lesbian Muslims, you cannot just turn the spotlight onto their sexuality. You have to relate their experiences of sexuality with the experiences of being Muslim, being a woman, being an ethnic minority within the British context. Only then can you get a comprehensive picture of what it means to be lesbian Muslims within the British and Western context. So that sounds very tough, but the picture is not that pessimistic. It's not that pessimistic because within the data, we have uncovered that many lesbian Muslims are beginning to construct management strategies that make it meaningful and possible for them to be lesbian Muslims and everything else in their daily life. And the first strategy that I would like to share with you, I call that queering Islam. Generally, this is an attempt to try to make Islam more gay and lesbian friendly, to make Islam much more inclusive and embracing of sexual diversity. Now, I put quote unquote because this is not a concept that is without difficulty. And this strategy is very much underpinned by the positive personal identity. What I find is that there are some lesbian Muslims who are very much burdened by religious conservatism, very much burdened by cultural conservatism. So they acknowledge that it is very difficult to be lesbian and Muslim at the same time. To be Muslim is difficult. To be lesbian is also difficult. To be lesbian and Muslim, God help me. It is so, Allah helps me, so difficult. And therefore, there are a lot of respondents who find their lives so difficult on a day-to-day basis. But as I said, that is not the end of the story, thankfully. Life is better than that. We have come across respondents who have constructed a positive personal identity. In other words, on a cognitive and personal level, they're okay to be lesbian. They're okay to be lesbian and Muslim. They know that their sexuality is created by Allah. And Allah would not reject them just because of their sexuality. Now, how do they do that? One of the ways of doing it is to queer religious texts. Now, that is not surprising, because religious texts constitute a very primary and fundamental basis of the rejection, of the discrimination of lesbian and gay people within Islam, within the Muslim community. So it is not surprising that they engage with the religious text to say, hey, let's take another look at the religious text. Let's try to understand this religious text from the perspective of contemporary social cultural understanding of love, of intimacy, of sexuality, of humanity. So this is very interesting, because they are not rejecting the Quran. They're not rejecting the Sharia. They're not rejecting the Hadith and whatnot. They are not rejecting the sanctity of the religious text. What they're saying is, let's look at the texts differently. Now, some Islamic scholars have already started to encourage us to do that. Many quote-unquote feminist scholars within the Islamic faith has been encouraging us to do that for a long time now. That in order to understand the Sharia, for instance, properly, you have to contextualize it. You have to put the Sharia or the Quranic texts within the context of our lives today, within, for instance, social, scientific, and theological understanding of what it means to be a believer, what it means to be a human being. And that, to me, is a very, very important context, a strategy that they use. This strategy works hand in hand with the other strategy of constructing support networks. Now, as I'm sure you all know, that as far as lesbian or gay and lesbian Muslims are concerned, there are very, very few support networks out there. Within the UK, for instance, Iman, which was called Al-Fatiha UK, was only established in 2000, and the Safra project was only established in 2002. So compared to, say, lesbian Christian support groups, lesbian Muslims have very, very, very few support groups. But these support groups, however, play a very, very important role in reinforcing their identity and increasingly in mobilizing political resources to try to gain a voice within the Muslim community. Now, I believe that these two strategies work hand in hand together in the attempt to quest for what I call the sexual and intimate citizenship. In other words, trying to construct resources, political, theological, and social resources that they could use to inform the choices they make as individuals, as embodied individuals, individuals who are not ashamed of their sexuality, individuals who are able to combine their religious faith with their sexuality. And this is an increasingly popular concept within sociology, which I don't have the time to elaborate now, but if you have any question, I'll be happy to talk about that. Now, I want to move on to another strategy that represents, that reflects actually the gender position of lesbian Muslims. This strategy is less common among gay male Muslims, but among lesbian and bisexual Muslims, this management strategy is very interesting, and I think this is because of the gender. And so you see that the strategy of queering Islam works hand in hand with the strategy of gendering Islam. As I mentioned just now, this gendering Islam is an attempt, is a quest that is much more established compared to queering Islam. Amina Wadudi, for instance, in her book, Gender Jihad, argues that at the simplest form, gendering Islam means bringing into the mainstream of Muslim thought and praxis the experiences of women. Because traditionally, the experiences of women have been so marginalized from Muslim thought and Muslim praxis. And therefore, the experiences of Muslims have to be brought into the mainstream of discourse. And this is what a lot of lesbian Muslims are trying to do. They're trying to bring into the mainstream Islamic discourse the experiences of not only women, not only women, because you have to qualify that, because women most of the times means heterosexual women, but also lesbian and bisexual women. So these are people who are very, very committed to fighting for the acceptance of sexuality and gender in the empowerment of women. In other words, sexual justice is related to gender justice. You cannot separate gender justice from sexual justice. Otherwise, you would be upholding a form of justice that discriminates against at least some quarters, some members of womanhood. So I find personally very interesting, and you can also see some parallels between these two attempts, because what they're trying to do is to separate something that we have talked already yesterday and early on this morning, the separation between culture and religion. The argument is that Islam as a religion essentially is equal. Equal not only in terms of gender, but also equal in terms of sexual orientation or sexuality. That Islam, as Allah intended, aims to embrace human diversity and human difference. And this human diversity and human difference extends beyond gender. It goes beyond gender. It also embraces sexuality. Now, does that mean, though, gender jihad is compatible with queer jihad or sexual jihad completely? Now, as far as my research data is concerned, that need not be the case. Some of the lesbian Muslims we talked to are very disappointed with the lack of acceptance. The lack of acceptance they find among Muslim women. There are a lot of Muslim women they find who are very committed to gender equality, but somehow not sympathetic, let alone supportive of the fight for sexual citizenship. So the two of them, you could see the parallels, but yet they are not identical. In other words, there's more work to be done as far as sexual jihad or queer jihad is concerned compared to gender jihad. Now, these are just the management strategies very much within the Muslim community and within the Islamic framework. As I mentioned just now, lesbian Muslims live within a broader society. So within the broader society, there is another management strategy that is very significant. That is the strategy to resist Islamophobia and to promote cultural citizenship. And to me, there are four dimensions of cultural citizenship. And we can all relate to this. Muslims generally, regardless of their gender, regardless of their sexual orientation, within the European context, for instance, have been working so hard, particularly after unfortunate incidents like 9/11, 7/11, and so on and so forth, have been working so hard to try to restore the cultural representation, the accurate and dignified cultural representation of Islam and Muslims in the West. And this is something that lesbian Muslims are contributing to, because as I mentioned just now, they are not only members of a sexual minority, they are also members of a religious and cultural minority that they feel that is constantly under siege, that they have to do something to address their issue of homophobia alongside racism and alongside Islamophobia. These three issues come to them together. You cannot separate them on a day-to-day basis, and yet this is where the challenge lies, because a lot of the time, a lot of lesbians and gay people who are white, who are non-Muslims within the European context, cannot understand that. A lot of lesbian and gay activists, for instance, who are not religious or who are Christians, cannot understand why lesbian and gay Muslims always have to talk about homophobia in relation to Islamophobia, in relation to racism. That it cannot be angry only about homophobia. No. They have to be, their anger, their energy, their passion, is invested on homophobia alongside Islamophobia and racism. So to a lot of lesbian and gay activists, that is a waste of energy. Why don't you just target on homophobia? Something that a lot of very, very well-intentioned, very, very good-hearted lesbian and gay activists cannot understand. Why? Because they only find themselves as minority as far as their sexual orientation is concerned. They do not have the lived experiences of also being cultural and religious minorities. Now, that is not to say that their heart is in the wrong place. That is not to say that they're ineffective. But sometimes I think there is a lack of cultural understandings that has to go hand in hand with the good intentions. Where am I now? We can also see that as a result of that, because of these three big issues that they have to negotiate, often now you see lesbian Muslims who also work with human rights groups, for instance, human rights groups that work against racism to promote social justice, because you cannot promote sexual justice without promoting gender justice, without promoting social justice. All these things have to go, or cultural justice, all these things have to go hand in hand together. You'd be very pleased to know this is the last slide. This is the last one. I'll take them together. Do a minute. Okay, basically, as I mentioned in the first point, I just want to conclude by saying that as far as lesbian Muslims are concerned, you really cannot separate sexual, gender, and social justice. They're all related because they significantly inform their sense of belonging, not only within the Muslim community, but also outside the Muslim community within an increasingly globalized world. And to me, As Amina Wadud has also argued in the book Gender, Jihad, and Beyond, and she's not the only one who argues that, I think this brings about multiple meanings of Islam in Europe, and it problematizes the whole notion of belonging in the contemporary world, that you cannot just reduce and essentialize someone based on someone's sexual identity or religious identity or cultural identity. And all in all, this will promote a much more understanding, I believe, understanding of human beings, understandings of Europeans, for instance, what it means to be a European. And to me, that is something very, very optimistic. Very, very optimistic, because then we are not only working for justice in a narrow sense, we're working for justice in a broad sense. And I think that is the most holistic way, despite the challenges, the most holistic way of bringing together minorities as well as majority people within the British and the European society. And on that very optimistic and positive note, j'ai terminé maintenant. Merci beaucoup. Merci.